Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising. Thank you all for joining us on this Thursday edition of the Female Solution, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. We've had a difficult week. This has been another American tragedy, and many who have watched the news have been greatly distressed with the shooting in Texas, yet another sign that there are those among us walking around with severe mental illness, and somehow it's undetected until it explodes and lives are lost in gun violence. So we have Dr. Debbie Green with us here to talk about this issue, and we are looking forward to another opportunity to share some hope and healing in this tragedy. 19 children to adults, 21 lives lost, and here we are with another opportunity to learn a lesson. Perhaps what we need to do figure out how to detect when someone is in a state of mental illness and are ready to explode. And maybe we can detect it before they explode so that we're not faced with another tragedy. So thank you, Dr. Debbie, for bringing us some hope and healing today.
Most profound. You know, as I continue to re-examine everything that's happening, you know, in this stage of life for everyone, you know, everyone on this earth is so affected, but also so numb to the fact, because it's so often, you know, this has been since a decade since the Sandy Hook, you know, murder, and it's been, you know, 2 years on the point since George Floyd. So we can clearly see a connection. You know, the connection is very visible. It's not invisible. All you have to do is just look at it. But the question is, why? You know, it's the why. You know, I mean, death has been on this land for millions of years. I mean, we, even during biblical times, there was death, bloodshed, constant, and it's not getting any better. We have to really keep that in reality. But what happens is it's the effect of these things on the human mind. On the human mind, you know. And this thing called fear is then given its place. It's given permission, you know, through one person's eyes, and whoever that one person is, then takes that fear and then exuberate it and expand it, meditize it to the world. So I went back and I did a little research for the, with the time that I had to look at this young man, you know, and I saw, you know, two things in, you know, commonality, you know, specifically. Of course, he was 18 like the other person was. He was also in the same year as the other person was, you know, as far as the body year. These young men went and purchased guns, I mean, automatic rifles, and the store owners, I'm just wondering, did they not even think, you know, at one time, I mean, you know, why do you need an automatic rifle? A handgun, but an automatic rifle. Something's odd about that. And, you know, again, our system is broken. It allows any person, whoever they may be, to purchase a gun. You know, you can go in the store. You don't have to go behind the building and look at somebody's trunk anymore. You can go anywhere. They have gun shows all over the United States to purchase guns. And now we want to know why people are dying. And it's not the gun. It is the person holding the gun. It's the person holding the gun that is extremely disorientated, mentally and spiritually ill. Extremely. This young man, as far as the Texas murders, he showed several symptomatics, several things. You know, his mother didn't believe that he did this. She acted like, ooh, that's not my son. I don't believe that he would, you know, kill his grandmother, or when he shot her, she's still alive. She life. So how could you not know your own child to this type of level of thinking? He cut himself in his face. He would go and you know, we know from, in, you know, the Psychological Association understands these what they call psychosis, of when a person will self-harm by cutting themselves for whatever reason. Now, this young man, he cut himself where someone could see, and someone asked him, why would you want to do that? Oh, it's fun.
Mm.
So it's fun for you to mutilate you, to destroy your being. So now that's not good enough. You don't get enough attention right there. So now you're going as far as going on Facebook, as these people do, and there needs to be a serious law with Facebook activity when someone is, I mean, when they need to have some type of bail or monitoring system, or when people come and say, I'm going to kill myself or kill someone else, somebody needs to send the police over there ASAP. It's not just someone talking. No, now it's real. It's not someone just wants attention. It is happening. So that's what he did. That's what he did.
He went on Facebook
and said, I'm going to shoot my grandmother. You know, and I'm sure not one person read that. Several. I don't know how many people read it. Nobody didn't care to call the police because they were too busy reading. They thought it was just, oh, here's just some
joke,
just on here just talking, you know. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. And then he said, then I'm going to go shoot people in
that's
elementary
cool.
school.
Yeah.
That,
he said
and I'm saying, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, he said it. He said it publicly. And why did that get no response?
See, this is what I'm saying about our system. It's broken. It is built on fear. It's built on self-destruction. It's not built to protect anyone. The city, the county, the government, it's not built to protect anyone. And, you know, right now, everyone doesn't want the people who are saying, no, I have my gun just in case somebody comes to my house and shoots me or tries to take my life, I'm going to shoot them. So people at arms, you know, everybody wants to be at arms. Everybody is under a massive amount of fear, losing their touch with God.
That's what it is.
Do you see what I'm saying?
This is exactly why I said
mental illness and spiritual illness, because we're losing touch. The love is growing and is cold. We're losing our humanity. We're losing our ability to give love and to receive love. So you have empty people, Naima, viewers, listeners, empty people that walk this earth that have no sense of awareness of pain that could be caused on another human being.
You know, I was looking at what they said about his life, that he had been teased very badly.
Yeah, bullied. Yeah.
And bullied. And like you say, system is broken. Why did no one intervene and stop it? So obviously it was very painful for him. So this is someone who I'm sure exhibited signs of emotional distress for a long time, and it was just ignored. And so now it's at the point of explosion. and the people closest to him are like, where did that come from? Why were you not paying attention? Why did you not notice him mutilating himself? Why did you not notice his interest in, what, guns, you know? I mean, how is it that people don't see the signs when someone is obviously reacting to the anger of being bullied or teased or humiliated? And how are our school teachers so disconnected they don't see when a child is being bullied at school? They don't stop it. They don't step in. They don't intervene and change the environment. How is it that parents are disconnected? They don't talk to the child. Well, what happened to you today? How are you feeling? How is it that so many people just ignore this person who was obviously in great pain? And then how do people see someone make a public statement on Facebook? This is a cry for help. Stop me. I'm self-destructing. No one stopped him. No one stopped him. He destroyed his life and so many lives. How many cries for help do we need to hear before we finally hear them? And that's the question. And then what is wrong with our society that we are so mean-spirited, that we allow children to be cruel and we don't teach them better? When you look at a past where someone has been bullied, that means these are children coming from families where they were probably mistreated. Someone has to plant meanness inside of you for it to be there. It's not just born into you. It's planted, it's nurtured, it's developed by some unthinking person who's causing you pain and being allowed to get away with it. So how is it that we keep producing children who bully, adults who ignore and neglect, and it ultimately manifests in someone who is in so much pain they're ready to kill? And they're ready to kill masses of numbers of people. And then what's wrong with our nation, our business industry, where people who sell weapons of war are selling them to civilians? They're so profit-driven, they don't care. How many times does this have to happen before the people who choose to sell death have some type of consciousness to know that they are the reason for this destruction? Now, of course, we know that people can use other weapons. Jana spoke on her show, her Saturday show a few weeks ago, about how they're having a crisis of people committing crimes with knives. So we know if people really have hatred and hurt inside of them, they can find ways to injure and kill. But an automatic weapon makes it possible for you to kill 19 children and two adults in a classroom. A knife, well, you know, you might get one or two before somebody wrestles you to the ground, but
right.
You know, when you have an automatic weapon and it's being sold and no one saw any signs or thought that there's something that they should follow up with, is something wrong with a lot of elements in our society where we're allowing, number one, death to be marketed as entertainment. It was said he enjoyed gaming, which means, you know, probably video gaming with a lot of shooting and military-type entertainment. How is it entertaining to watch people being blown up, shot to death, and bloody and dying and suffering? How is that entertainment? Why are we allowing that to be sold? Why are we saying, oh, you know, First Amendment rights and all of that? You know, there's a point of insanity. When you don't like the outcome of something, then you stop the thing that produces the outcome. Why are we not able to produce or to choose to stop the cause when it's right there in front of us? All of these things that lead to this, we allowed, and now we're horrified. Well, this is going to keep happening until we learn the lesson, until we learn the lesson. Stop using entertainment. Stop using violence and death and destruction as entertainment. Do not sell those video games. Those video games were created to condition people who were going into war, and you had to be desensitized to kill because you have to go and do something that is against your nature, against your soul, which is to take another life. So the video games were designed for that. Once the war was no longer the main thing, well, the companies decided to sell them as games to children. And so now we have that. So this is the outcome of that decision. Shouldn't that, in our intelligence, tell us that was a bad decision? Those are not games. Those are not toys. Those are conditioning mechanisms for people who are being trained and conditioned to mass murder, which is what war is. So we need to stop. That would be the intelligent thing to do. And then you have people who are gun manufacturers. Those are weapons of war. Why are they being sold on the civilian market? Well, like you said, people are living in fear. Well, I have to have a gun to protect myself. How many small percentages of people actually pull out a gun and shoot an intruder? It almost never happens. They get angry in an argument, and they shoot their spouse. They shoot their child. They shoot their parent. It doesn't happen where you have this gun ready for the home intruder. You happen to hear them in the middle of the night, and you pull out the gun from your pillow and shoot them. That almost never happens. So that is such a weak excuse for everybody thinking, well, we can't stop the flow of guns because I need to have access to my gun for my protection. There is another way, and we need to learn that way because we can change the energy in a situation, and we can deter it from happening. And it's a spiritual energy that we can create and project, and we can literally change the energy in the person who's about to commit the crime. That's higher spiritual science that we have forgotten. We need to relearn it and master it because that really is the solution.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Queen Zelda is giving a comment on Facebook Live. Grand Rising, beautiful Queen Sistars, free-based thinking in this broken society will continue to exist until we, the people, demand change. Absolutely. If they can gather for George Floyd all over the world, I don't understand why they can't gather for gun control.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, what's stopping them? But they, it's not, you know, it's not just a black or white crime anymore. It's never been. It's a person that is deranged, that wants so much attention to the point where they're willing to die for it. Because, like you said, many factors lead to a broken mind, a broken spirit. When they took prayer out of school, concubine murders, that was the first thing that happened. And no one never thought to put it back in. It's like, okay, we just, you know, we were a country. America was a country, you know, a God-fearing country. In God we trust. That's all on the money. But it's a fabricated, I mean, think about it. Think about it. I mean, for a minute. Yeah, we do have people on this earth, you know, in America that trust God and love the Lord. But overall, to protect the systematic order of the land, it is not there. It's not there. So no matter what a person gets exposed to, if the love is not there in them, then they will be taken over by fear. And fear is an evil, hostile, vital situation, mindset that destroys everything it's around. It doesn't matter. It doesn't take in consideration of a mother losing a child. It doesn't take in consideration of a father married to his wife. It doesn't take none of that. The human factor is gone. The sense of being, consciousness, is no longer there. They're not conscious. So what's taking over the consciousness of that human being? Okay, let's get a little deeper here. Okay? We can blame society. We can blame everything else. But at the end of the day, something is controlling the consciousness of another, of a human being that picks up the gun and intentionally aims the gun to destroy. Now, we've heard stories. We've heard stories about, you know, a child find a gun in on a couch and then aims it at another child and shoots. Okay, that right there is just negligence, right? But when a person specifically designs premeditated murder, do you know how much thought takes to go into that?
A lot of thought, a lot of planning. They think of it step by step. That means this is not a spur of the moment. This was definitely premeditated because he had to figure out even the time of day to go in. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, in these inner city schools in Chicago, you can't just walk in off the street. You can't just walk in. You know, you got to go through metal detectors. You got to sign in. So apparently that was not a school district that had those security measures, and of course he had to have known that, which is how he knew he could go in there and get in and get past the entrance without
Absolutely.
Being effectively
but
stopped.
You know what? He shot through the window.
Mm.
They were all in one class, so they didn't have the opportunity to escape, Naima.
Yeah.
He shot through the windows. And the thing about this is,
I mean, he came in blasting.
He came in blasting, and they were all in one room. And that's why they were just sitting ducks at that point. But you know what's really interesting? He went to Yavade. He went to the high school there. That's where he attended.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't go there to where he was bullied. He wasn't bullied at the elementary school.
That's what I was wondering. You know, what was the significance of that school other than it being, like you say, they're sitting ducks. They didn't have, armed security that could stop
him.
So that's probably why he made that choice to attack them, because they were defenseless and they were children.
Exactly, because the high schools have a little more monitoring system.
Mm-hmm.
We need to monitor all school systems. If they didn't get from the Sandy Hook, I don't understand. That right there should have rang clearly with them.
Right. You can't let people into a school. And
any
type even on the school ground.
System, it don't matter. It should be a system like I'm talking about, like all around
monitoring, like I mean video cameras and everything.
A metal detector should
metal
be
detectors,
on all doors. There should be surveillance cameras all around the building that
that's
will alert anyone that sees anybody that looks strange, is holding a gun or anything of that nature, because they really got him on the video on the outside
mm-hmm.
of the building. Because when he was getting moments before he shot through the window.
Mm. So, you know, the insanity of insanity is that you're never prepared for something that is unprecedented in that particular area.
Correct.
I mean, there's no way, we're not in wartime, there's no invading army, there's no way you would be prepared for someone to come in with an automatic rifle and start shooting. You're not mentally prepared, you're not emotionally prepared, you're not prepared in terms of whatever security, personnel, you know, it just was not something that anyone was prepared for. And so now, when it's just like 9/11, you know, nobody was prepared for planes crashing into the Twin Towers and all the other places, and no one was prepared for hijacking. No one was prepared. So now the response is almost overkill in some instances. You know, extremes of security at the airport. I mean, I still remember, you know, when I'm wheeling my 95-year-old mother, we were going on a trip to my daughter's graduation, and they had her taking off her shoes, and they're going through her bag and taking out her toothpaste. And I'm thinking, a 95-year-old woman is going to use a tube of toothpaste to plant a bomb. I mean, really? You know, and they do all of these extremes to people who don't fit any kind of profile at all, you know, obviously, you know, intending nothing. But still, somebody puts on Facebook, I'm going to shoot my grandmother and I'm going to attack a school, and you can't see that? You know, so it's almost like we're blind, even though the threats and the indications are right in front of us, and we choose not to see those, and we overreact to things and people who aren't doing anything. Someone sent me on a chart of, and I think I might have even texted it out to people, a chart of all these various killings of unarmed people who are minding their own business, and then all these armed people who were peacefully arrested after they had massacred people. You know, and you wonder, how is it that, you know, unarmed, peaceful men and women are getting shot, and people who are showing obvious signs of emotional distress, of mental illness, of violent tendencies, no one sees anything until they've shattered lives, you know. So what is it that we are not seeing? Are we not seeing people? Are we stuck in our stereotypes of people, so we can't see someone who really is a threat because we're looking at an image of somebody who isn't? But in our own minds, we've been conditioned to look at, I don't know, a skin color, a racial profile, or whatever the case, an age profile, whatever it is that we're looking at and attacking, those are not the people who are likely to do any harm, and they're not showing any signs of doing anyone harm, but the ones who are showing all the signs, we ignore. So do we need to develop better intuition? Because intuition only works when you turn off prejudice. You can't have intuition and prejudice, because prejudice blocks intuition. Intuition will let you feel someone's vibe, and you know when they're projecting hostile, dangerous vibes. Prejudice makes you see an image, and in your own mind, you're reacting to your own conditioning. So maybe that's something we need to figure out.
Welcome, Move Around with Deborah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having and allowing me to be here, to be maybe some kind of voice of reason to someone who is out there. All the variables that you were just speaking of, Naima, they are factual, and we don't know how to until after the fact.
Right.
You know, there are things in place as we travel. You were mentioning how your 90-year-old mom was stopped because of the toothpaste incident. But in some cases, and we don't hear about it, but there are so many different situations that those things do slip through, and that's why they have those rules now in place, because things did slip through. You would be surprised at the items that are held up in the airport and in other public places that are a danger, that you slip through. There is a movie. Matter of fact, Clint Eastwood made a movie about the mule and how he was transporting drugs for a cartel from, I don't know if it was Texas or, but back and forth from Texas to Chicago. And he did it one time for the money, and the money was good, and he did it again, and he was putting the money in good places. I think the VFW hall that he frequented burned up, and he went in and had it rebuilt and other things in the community. So these things, although that particular subject or that particular instance was a movie, but the ideas came from somewhere, just like in other movies.
Mm-hmm.
The ideas come from somewhere. And there are so many folks who have these inclinations of hurting someone else, hurting themselves, and in as they hurt themselves, they want to hurt other people. You know, we don't know until after the fact how to analyze. But there are folks walking around all day long looking to hurt themselves and somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we project it? You know, the guy the other day, yeah, he put it on Facebook. And I'm just saying for his situation, he put it on Facebook and social media, but he did it like 30 minutes before he actually did the act.
Right.
So how can we control what is seen in that short a time and then be able to be able to secure ourselves and our neighborhood? You know, he shot his grandmother. And she survived thus far.
Yeah.
And the neighbors were helping her, and they were calling 911 saying this guy is out here doing crazy things. But who knew he was going to go to the school and do what he did? All they knew is he was out here. They didn't know where to go to find him until he appeared in just a short period of time. So, yeah, if we had that inclination of who's going to do what before they do it, it would be great, but we don't. And that's another step in the lives, you know, another step that we deal with, you know.
We're blind.
We're too privileged in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have too much privilege. And then we look at, well, if Big Brother is looking over us, now we're complaining about that. They can't judge us. They can't say what we can and cannot do. It was funny. Someone said the other day that they could dictate to have gun control and freedom of speech. But me as a woman, I don't have freedom of speech in my body. You know, and that is a big contract. It is whatever is in the interest of who's speaking the loudest is where we're stuck at.
That's true. We have to take a break, and we will be back to discuss this further. And when we do get back, I want to really go into the different type of psychiatric disorders that were, you know, exhibit through both of these young men.
Mm. Be right back.
When we get back.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Of something that was detective or something of that nature, he would not, you know, he would get real short with them. He'll shut down or whatever. Of course, the question is, again, where was he working? Where did he get the money to buy, you know, the guns? But going back to the mindset, so here comes the weave of self-destruction, because that's what it is. It's not just destroying other lives. He was destroying himself, and no one heard him. No one saw him until he actually had to put it in a place where
everybody
saw it, and that was Facebook. So he got all the gumption, all the anger, all the rage. The anger then turned toxic to rage. So now we don't just have a normal mindset anymore. We have a homicidal, suicidal mindset. That's what that is. A self-destructive matter turning into a killing machine. If I'm in this much pain, I'm in this much pain to the point to where I become so delusional. You see what I'm saying? I'm so delusional. Now, anything that had any life in me died. It's no longer there mentally. It's no longer there emotionally. It's no longer there spiritually. I'm empty because I'm dead. I'm a dead man walking. A dead man walking can only give what? Death. That's all it can do.
That's right.
Right? We call it psychosis. So I'm sure, you know, they're going to, even with the young man that killed the 10 black people there in New York, they're going to have him psychologically, evaluated. And again, hate comes from deep embedded anger. Hate turns into homicidal, suicidal. You see what I'm saying? And this is a common thing. It's a common thing. Here in Georgia, just recently, a pastor was killed. Marietta Harrell, beautiful woman. She was stabbed to death by somebody she was mentoring. She was helping that person, a 27-year-old man, that she was helping him. He stabbed her to death with a kitchen knife and set her on fire.
Oh, no.
And threw her in the back of a van like nothing. Nothing. So what's going on in the minds of the people? I personally believe it's mental and spiritual vexedness. This is what I believe. I believe they lost their humanity for human life. They no longer is a human being.
But at what point does that happen, though? I mean,
they become a human doing.
I guess my question is, something happens along that person's development,
age.
This is true. You mentioned, people who are bullied, people who are neglected, people who are abused. At what point does something inside them snap? And what are the signs? Well, like you mentioned, they might act out, scream, might be highly emotional. But at what point do they get to the point where they're suicidal and homicidal? And is there a way to reverse the damage that's been done to them once they reach that point?
Excuse me. Hold on one second, okay? I'm going to introduce you, if you don't mind. Just hold on one second, please, because she asked a question, and I'll just let me answer that. Thank you so much. What happens is, I work presently in a mental health hospital. So I personally see those individuals that do self-harm every day. Every day, okay, suicidal attempts, cutting, all of these things, and that most people that's normal in this.
And
my pleasure in cutting their flesh. You ask them a question, so why are you cutting? Oh, it is a coping mechanism for my pain. Okay? So if you haven't understood the mental capacity of a human being that suffers from mental illness, it's one of those things that, you know, it's many factors because it happens, but it is a reality. So if that person doesn't, again, all of this is inside. It's like a boiling volcano. It's inside. So when it's inside, when it comes out like you see that's happening in our society, murder, suicide. All that was inside first, and it comes outward. And there's many whys. There's many factors that can lead up to this, Naima. But again, we're blinded to this, because if we knew every individual that was going to commit atrocity of murder on the earth, we would collect them all up and put them somewhere. But you don't know, because it's inside of the human being until it comes out. It's been there, and it's been laying dormant for periods of time. You see what I'm saying? That's what happens. So we look at the factors. The factors are the things that occur with the person, on the outside of the person, bullying, you know what I'm saying, different situations of what they hear, how they respond in life, their views, their perceptions, what they say, what they do, but what is created on the inside of that individual, what's created in the mind, what's created in the spirit, what's created in the soul. You see what I'm saying? They were born like babies. These were babies where they were born. They didn't have evil in their heart. Something happened along the way for them to lose their humanity. When you lose your human factor of life, you don't even look at another human being as another human being. Now you're looking through the eyes. Your eyes, your receptors have totally changed. You look at them as the enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying? You look at them as the enemy. They didn't do anything to you. You're not conscious of that any longer. Now your whole perception has changed into what they call demonic, what they call monstrous, precision. That's what it is. Anything that destroys anything that has life to this capacity, that's innocent, what else can it be? Okay, Kasazana, all right, dear, you can go ahead and say what you wanted to say. Thank you so much for listening. We welcome you to the show. Are you there?
Hold on, let me see.
So, are you saying that those who are to that degree, there's no coming back to some sense of sanity? There's no overcoming that urge? Is that what you're saying? There's no hope for them?
Well, it depends on what degree they're in. Because, see, okay, we...
So there is some hope for some.
Yes, for some. But they would really have to have some intensive therapy. I mean, to the point where you have to find out what the root cause is. I mean, you can't have any, you can't walk in, a normal therapist can't walk in there just saying, oh, hello, how you doing today? No, we need to find out what led you to this. Where is your pain coming from? Because that pain was on the inside of that human being. So they don't want that pain to come out to the point where everybody saw it. They wanted everyone to feel their pain. Everyone on the earth to feel their pain.
Sometimes we holler.
Well,
we're so fed up.
get on my nerves. I wish you would just die.
Mm. I think
that's
Donna's
hard words. Or you can say, you know, some kind of expression, you know what I'm saying? Some kind of expression that you really didn't think about before you said it.
Mm.
You know?
Isn't that a root for that to materialize?
Right.
Isn't that inherent somewhere?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, I think Donna's backstage also.
You got to find out the root cause of why the hate was created in the first place. This is hate, self-hate. It's not just hate on people. It's self-hate. Don't you know those two young men, one of them didn't think about being killed. For some reason, he felt he just had entitlement, and that was the one in New York because he did not get killed. No one didn't shoot the gun at him. He would have gotten killed if he didn't have the vest on because we knew the security guard tried to kill him and stop him, but he had the vest on. But once the police got there, nobody then aimed the gun and shot him. They didn't shoot him, but they did this other person because he was behind a barrier and he was constantly shooting. So they know they had to kill him. He didn't come willingly. Like, oh, yeah, I did the thing. I'm holding up my hands. I think even if he did hold his hands up, he still would have got shot.
This whole thing is really odd. Of course, I think Jana is backstage.
Okay.
You know.
Is she there now?
Haven't seen you. Can you pull her up?
Well, she doesn't have a picture, so I guess.
Okay.
So we have you on, Jana. You wanna unmute your camera? Jana, you're on. You wanna open your camera? Because you know she was talking about the violence that they have, even though it's the same kind of crisis, but you have a lot of people. I guess they don't have the same access to guns, so the. The people who have flipped out or using knives.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, we hear you. Can you hear us okay, Jana? And, of course, you know, for our audience who doesn't know, Jana is in London, and they're going through the same kind of insanity, same...
Okay, how are you doing?
Good, good.
She's delayed.
How's everybody?
Doing well. Thank you. Did you have something to say?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a delay.
She's delayed, that's what it is.
Well, yeah, I thought it was interesting. Are you talking about both parties?
Yeah, did you all heard about the Texas killing at the grammar school? The young man, the 18-year-old young man who shot up the student.
It's really terrible. It's really terrible. Okay. I'm actually in a meeting, so I'm talking to you, but I'm actually in a meeting at the same time. So, are you talking about Buffalo?
Yes.
Or are you talking about Texas?
Well, both. Yeah, both, actually. Same kind of situation, the mental health issues that those situations
show. Okay, because I mentioned
show.
Yesterday. Yeah, people have mental health issues. They don't go into a school and shoot up the school and shoot children because they've got mental health issues.
So what would you say it comes from?
And I heard something yesterday. I heard something yesterday, right, where the shooter in Buffalo was shooting people randomly, right? He was only shooting black people. He saw a white person who was the manager of the shop, and he was going to shoot him. Then he realized that the guy was white, and he let him go, right? So if you think that racism is a mental illness, then yes, it's a mental illness. But I think it's much bigger than one person. I think this is a societal problem. It's much bigger than one person. You get me?
Well, I would say it it's a mental illness that has been accepted. Because to hate somebody because of their skin color, that is mentally ill. But as you said, it's been accepted by the society.
Right.
It's like that we have a collective
yeah.
mental illness.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take a break real quick.
I mean, it's a societal problem. It goes beyond the individual.
Definitely a societal problem. So we're going to take a break. Let me pull up our commercials. And then we'll be back. Well, that's a question to take a look at. Is racism a mental illness? And should we treat it like one? And what would that look like, Dr. Deb, if we reacted to people who express racism and violence toward people who are different as if they are mentally ill? What kind of treatment would we prescribe for them if we saw that as the illness that it is? Maybe you can ask that when we get back. So we'll be back in a moment.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery. The African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African-Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Miss Jones to Saka.
No, I like that. It's cute.
Cal.
Hello. Let me bring Zana back on. Let me see if I can. Do I have enough room to do that?
Yeah, I think you do.
There you go. Wow. Thank you so much for joining us as well. You know, this is such a sensitive topic. Oh, my God, I wish we had enough for the world to be on here so we could get everybody on the same accord. That would just be awesome. I know the question was, well, you know, before we went to break, it is a society systemic issue. It is an epidemic. We know this. I'm not saying
systemic issue. Is that the question?
Well, you know, we were talking about the signs that people display when they have maybe gone through some things in life, maybe bullying, maybe abuse, and they're at that point of explosion where they act out and they commit some violent act. And we looked at, you know, of course, you realize they're mentally ill after they've done the act, but any internal hatred of somebody that is irrational, I think, is mental illness. So how do we address that, and do we respond to somebody who is expressing hatred as if they are mentally ill? And if so, is there treatment for that above and beyond, you know, condemnation, jailing, or whatever? But can you deal with a sick mind that hates and treat it as a sickness?
Well, so I have a unique answer, a very unique answer. It's not going to surprise anybody here on this panel. So inner water supply and inner food supply are pesticides. Now I'm going to take this out of hate for a moment, okay? I'm going to take this into the chemical atrazine. Atrazine has been known to take male frogs and female frogs. It is banned in other countries, okay? We know that it makes a girl a boy. Now what do you think that does to the brain as they're converting?
Wow.
Okay, and I need people to think about this because we have this baby food shortage, okay? You can look at, I'm scared we lost our baby food. No. Make your own without the atrazine and all the other chemicals, right?
That's right.
Right? And so I've been saying this since I went on disability. When I was disabled, I got clear. I was getting downloads, and I didn't know them to be that at the time. What I got clear on, we didn't have a gun control issue. We had a chemical modification of the human body and the human brain tissue. And you put that combined with the breast beef disaster, right?
Wow.
Do you guys see that or not?
So the chemical that's in pesticides, which of course is designed to kill, you say that's in what food? You say that's in...
Well, so atrazine pesticide is in all of our foods, and it's in our water supply.
Wow.
And, you know, the EWG.org, you can even check your own water supply by going to their tap water database and looking at what chemicals are over the legal limit. And by the way, just because it's a legal limit doesn't mean that it's still okay. It's not safe. I mean, how much arsenic takes the body. So what I'm trying to say is, I want to read something that was posted by Dr. Steven Spencer. And there's two things I want to say. One is, really be in control of what you fuel your child's body with, what you fuel your body with, because it is impacting your brain and how you think, how you be, and how you do. Okay? Now, here's the other thing that I want to share that Dr. Spencer wrote.
You might have to remove her while she's, because she said she's in a meeting and it's kind of bleeding through Dr. Debbie.
Okay, good. Yeah. Here's what it says. Don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids because the world they are growing
are going to grow up in is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for this exact moment in time that they're in. Their life wasn't a coincidence or an accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God.
Right.
Train them up in the authority of his word.
Hallelujah.
Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in, because of God's sovereign plan. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life. He created them specifically for it. And don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenges of our lifetime. Rise up to the challenge. Raise Daniel's, raise David's, Esther's, and Peter's. God isn't scratching his head, wondering what he's going to do with the mess of a world. He has an army he's raising. Mm-hmm. He's raising up to drive back the darkness and make him known all over the earth. So don't let your fear steal the greatness God placed in them.
Mm.
Repeat that. Don't let your fear steal the greatness God placed in them. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little babies, and we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them, but they were born for such a time as this.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's powerful.
You have to give them the tool.
Yeah.
You have to give them the tool.
That's what the parents failed.
Tools are chemical-free foods, chemical-free water, and I hear it because I can hear people speaking. Don't tell me you don't have the money. You find the money, meaning you get rid of cable or you get rid of something you don't need. You're buying. That's what I did when I was disabled. I got rid of a lot of things I didn't. I sold stuff. I could afford real food and real water. And that, by the way, your water does not come in a bottle. It's out of your tap tub.
Wow.
Okay, I got two comments from Facebook here. One of them is Sister Vieta says, that security guard in Buffalo was working on a major project to bring a water-powered system to replace gas and electric.
Of course.
Mm.
But someone will take over where he stopped.
Right.
I have another comment here from Cherise Chatoli. That's one of my good friends there. Hello, Cherise. Thank you for joining us. Of course, that's a contributing factor. Then we have other factors that come together to create the environment we live in now.
Yes.
The toxic environment.
Toxic environment. One more comment here. This is from Charles Gordon. Thank you for joining us. There's a reality based in actual facts and a reality created by imagination. What people believe, be, lie, be, which is created bullcrap. The devil gets into spirituality like God gets into spirituality. It's about light against darkness. We've been in spiritual warfare since knowledge of the lie, evil. Stop playing with reasons and reality. In modern time, devils do the same thing. They did centuries ago. The devils have gotten very sophisticated and complex, what people used to call, and whatever that other comment was. Not sure about that. But, wow. I mean, this again, there's the main unit that we have to hold on to, and that's the love.
Right.
We cannot forget how to love. We have to teach love to our children, teach them understanding, help them to conquer their fears as well, to deal with their fears where their fears will not, you know, take over their minds. And like you said, change our environments, change the way we eat, change what we are exposed to. There's so many factors that make up a whole.
Change,
you know,
programming. Do you know what I found last night, Dr. Debbie?
What's that?
Andrew and I were going through the storage unit. We're selling a lot of things. And there was a book that was given to him as a child. You're not going to believe the title. I got really angry. Listen to this program. No one listens to Andrew.
Wow. And someone gave him that book as a child?
As a child.
That's awful.
So what we're going to do is we're going to use the bond tonight, and we're going to reread the book, and then we're going to burn it and give it to Source.
Wow.
Yeah. My book.
It's time for it to be done. That's why it came now.
Yeah.
To get
rid of all the things that were planted.
Oh, yeah. Zana has a question backstage here. Let me. Okay. Are you there? Good morning.
Yeah, I think Jana's on a little bit of a time delay. She's joining us live from London, but I think there might be a few seconds delay in what she hears and when we hear her. So now you gotta unmute.
That's a long delay.
Are you unmuted, Jana?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, now we're waiting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dr. Debbie, do you have any callers that want to talk about if they are committed to raising spiritually strong children?
Oh, we've got a caller on the line. Yeah, let me bring in a caller to the switchboard. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me of that, Jody. Yeah, we have three callers on the switchboard. Let me bring in some callers while we're waiting for Jana's connection. So I'm going to bring you in this order, 773-977, then 863-816, and then 336-350. And anybody else on the switchboard that wants to speak, just press 1, and I will unmute your mic. And let me go first to 773-977. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience. And
well,
good morning
to all. God is so good, and I'm so thankful to be alive, to be witnessing this wonderful program that I feel is straight from heaven. You know, I talked to this is Lois, by the way, here in Chicago, Illinois. I talked to a Mexican lady yesterday in the Walmart, and we were comparing our skin complexions. She and I were just about the same color, and we talked about the fear that we had just while being in the store and wondering, you know, is there someone going to come in here and shoot us while we're shopping? And so we ended our conversation with just loving one another. Yeah, and then we embraced one another right in the store yesterday. So I feel that the mental illness that we have stems from the milk that we have given to our babies. I feel that this situation that's happening right now with this so-called milk strike or what have you, they have man-made milk because they didn't want God's milk to be given to the babies. They want their milk to be given to the baby. They want to take over God's doings, and it's just not going to happen. You know, most of them are not paying attention to what's happening with this nuke situation. And I speak this way because I have a son who's about 45 years old who was given the Neo-Monsoy milk at 3 months old. And about 3,000 babies died as a result of the Neo-Monsoy milk. I was unable to breastfeed or what have you. And they claimed that my son was going to die. And that was in 1979. And it did, you know, leave him with some type of disability, mobility skills and things of that nature. But they really had bleach in the milk. And so the lawyer took the case in 1980, and he sent it to this man named Ernest Haynes, and they opened up a new case on the milk, Neo-Monsoy, in 1982, used my son's milk and got $32 million, a $32 million settlement. And when they asked, well, are there any other cases regarding this Neo-Monsoy milk? And the attorney who took my case and said, for 79, said no. So I took it back to the federal court. What happened was that when we went through the appeal, an attorney called Terrell. He was 24 years old. He says, hey, you come here, and you, if you sign the statement, we'll give you $24,000. My son didn't tell me what he was doing. He went down to the office, and he signed the statement that at 3 months old, he did not drink the Neo-Monsoy milk, and they gave him $24,000. So this milk that's coming out is really this milk is a, I believe it's a death trap for a lot of our babies.
And now this is baby formula. Talking about.
If you think that's only the milk, right? There's anything that doesn't come straight from God, you don't want anything that comes from a manufacturing plant.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And because the system is set up knowing that the babies were going to die from that particular milk and knowing that so many babies had died, the recall was on, and the recall hasn't been taken off yet, which means that any mother who gave her child Neo-Monsoy milk during 1979 can come in and file a claim. But nobody's going to file a claim, but they should.
Lois, how is that spelled? Neo-Monsoy.
Milk. Neo-Monsoy.
Oh, Neo-Monsoy.
But now they have Infamil. They have Infamil. I understand someone told me yesterday that there's another lawsuit out on Similac. And I know a lot of parents, you know, serve their children similar. So we wonder, you know, where is this mental illness coming from? And I believe it's coming from the milk. It's coming from the milk. Mm. What we're giving our children and just anything that they want that's against God. You know, that they want men to marry men and women to marry women. Anything against God. So we have to work with God. God gave that milk to the women free of charge. Just like we're breathing this oxygen right now and living, enjoying the bliss of just being together and being alive. So I just thank you all for this time, and I really, really appreciate programs like this. Thank God for you. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yeah, wow. Yeah, Similac, that's what they were pushing when I had a child. Yeah, they were definitely pushing that heavy. 863-816, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience. And give us your thoughts.
Yes, good morning, all. L.A., Central Florida. Briefly, I posted, I hope they showed up, on the Female Solution Facebook page, two maps. One is a map of, well, it gives you the silhouette of the state of Texas, or the outline of the state of Texas, and then there's a world map. Concerning these, what my point of view on these shootings of recent, number one, it's cultural. Violence from the start of the United States till now, I don't know how much longer in the future, it's cultural. That's how this country was built, to a large degree on violence. Number two, the national mascot of the United States, which is the American bald eagle, is a predator. And that's what this guy did in Texas, and that's what this guy did in Buffalo. And that's what, I hate to say it, many Americans have done on a all kind of basis. Not every American, but there's a lot of it historically. The third thing, and I think is the most important, is we live too close to each other. And that's why I posted that. Hopefully it came up on the Female Solution Facebook page. You can take the entire population of the world right now and fit it into the state of Texas, and everybody on the planet would have 2.3 acres of land each. That's over two football fields. So we're living too close together. Uvalde, Texas, has a little over 15,000 people. That's a lot of people crammed into a small space. If once you get outside of in Texas, and I lived in Texas for 4 years. That's where I went to undergraduate school there. Once you get outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, Austin, Houston, El Paso, San Antonio, and up in the Panhandle, the Amarillo, Lubbock region, Texas is nothing but space. And there's a matter of fact, Illinois, once you get outside of certain counties, is nothing but space. And that's just the United States. So that's why I put that map up there where you can, like I say, you can fit the entire population, the world in the state of Texas and everybody. So it's cabin fever. I'll land my plane there.
Well, thank you so much, L.A.
And let me add to that. So he has a really good point. And because we are electrical beings and we're all energy, and, you know, Dr. Debbie's spoken to this, you know, it can be very exciting, and it's, you know, it's electricity, boom, 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 right? But electricity touches, right? So I agree, you need more space. And if you have to live in an apartment, like, you know, we are now because we moved to Georgia and couldn't find a place, a home, then make sure you get out into the forest and walk and give yourself the space.
Right. That's the healing element. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to take caller 442077. I think that might be an international call, so I'm going to take you right after the break. So hold on. And then 336-350 and then 773-737 after that. And if you're on our switchboard, press 1 so we know you got something to say. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. as a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister. Females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Can pick up vibrations,
you can be at peace wherever you go, and you will receive a warning when someone means you harm. I mean, we've all had it. You're walking down the street, and then something tells you cross the street, this person coming. You don't even see their face, but you feel something, and you just cross the street. So, I mean, we all have that intuitive sense. We lose it when we get indoctrinated into fear of people based on how they look or how they sound or what religion they believe, all these things that have nothing to do with who they are as a soul. So we need to get back to soul-to-soul communication, because that is the real communication. That's what's used in the animal kingdom. They don't walk around in fear.
Absolutely, but still animals get into situations. The thing is that I personally have a very strong intuition. We all have an intuition, but it gets clouded by other forces, other drives, other, as you said, indoctrination. So we can't always count on it. I think if we were really, really clear, then we could always count on our intuition. But that's not actually answering the question that I asked. And I'd like to know your thoughts about this.
Well, what was that? Oh, I think Debbie Angie said, would he be treated with compassion? Dr. Debbie
said
no.
No, he would not.
What do you think would happen to him?
Nation of the earth. That's what would happen. Anybody who got it.
Because personally, I think he'd be dead by now, and his family would be sadly planning his funeral.
I
don't really think that people would be giving the same consideration to his mental health. Some of us would, but there's a lot of people in the majority population who would not.
Well, you know, you have the same thing like what happened after 9/11, and all of a sudden, anybody who looked Arab or Middle East or anything, you know, all of a sudden they're being kicked out of stores or you know, harassed.
We're having this every day in London. It continues to happen.
Paranoid.
Every day in London. We've had quite a few incidents with people who call themselves Islamists. We've had quite a few incidents right here in London, and we've had quite a few incidents in other parts of the country. So, yeah, we have this every day, which is, I mean, in the States it's called racial profiling. I don't know what we call it here, but it's the same kind of thing we have every day in London and other parts of Britain, that people someone thinks they look Muslim, they get attacked. But if a black guy, young black guy, walked into a school and started shooting a whole bunch of white kids, I don't think he'd be treated this way. I don't think we'd be having this conversation. We might be having it, but other people would just be going, you know, are you going to go to his funeral, basically? That's what I think. But
no,
you guys
no, not only that, and any black man who looked like him all of a sudden would be targeted as if, oh, you might
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my
this
point.
Is what,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
The thing is, the causes of why this happened. Yeah, because the thing is, this is what turns off your intuition when you generalize based on what someone looks like.
That's one of the things. Yes, absolutely. But you know, if you want to talk about the causes, well, that's what I'm talking about. One of the causes. I mean, the man went into a school, he shot a whole bunch of young school children who were black, and he let a white person go. What does that tell us? What does that tell us right there?
We have illness on many different levels, and this is
what
produces.
That's right. Personal, psychological, emotional, societal. You know, we're dealing with a lot of dysfunction,
right.
A lot of dysfunction, I think.
Right, because when people tease this young man, you know, that was an illness on their part. What kind of hatred makes children cruel to other children?
Where did they learn that cruelty from?
Right.
Well, again,
so let me. I got a couple other callers. Dr. Debbie, hold on. John, I'm gonna keep your mic open, but mute yourself if you have any background noise.
Okay, but I am on the phone, so.
Okay.
I do what I can.
Area code 336-350. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Greetings, Grand Risings family, Dr. Debbie, Brother L.A., this is Mama A.Z. I'm calling you from Tucson, Arizona, the Gables Resort. And if, Brooke, I want to make a point. Brother L.A., that's deep. That's deep about the land. Also, family, not everybody comes to this planet with a soul. This planet is one of the most planets, one of the most high in demand planets in this universe that people come to learn. It's a high dollar boot camp, any means necessary to get back on this planet in a body, because this planet allows you to experience everything from A to Z, and it is in high demand, and there are a few people who come into bodies and they do not have a soul. And the next thing that I want to point out, if the young man that did the shooting, if you go back into and look into his chart, his astrological chart, his planets, all of this, not many of us are taught how to do this. You know, I haven't researched it yet, but I guarantee you, if one who is an expert in that, if they went back to that young man's chart and see what the alignment of his planets are, the time that he came to the planet, you will see what was going to happen when it happened. And all of us agreed to even be here together to talk about what happened. All of us. And we gotta remember that on this planet, family, we come here to learn, and this is one of the most potent times to be on this planet. We ain't seen nothing yet. It's a lot of other things that are coming down the pipeline. So just get yourself your seatbelt strapped in and get the popcorn and whatever else and just observe, because it's coming. And this is my D telling you, it's coming. I have seen some things since I've been here in Tucson, Arizona, which is an Aquarian state, city. So put that in your peace pipe and drum smoke on it, family. We all came here to experience what we are experiencing now. And this is actually, like Lois said, it's a good time to be on the planet. Pay attention.
Thank you, Mama.
And I want to make sure that people understand that there are different purposes for each of these situations. We don't necessarily know what happened to the fellow and where his mind and what drove him to do exactly what he did. But we know that the guy in Buffalo, he had a purpose. So that's what they selected. That he selected. There was a different purpose, and we know what his purpose was. Some of the other people, we don't know what their purpose is. The man who burned the homeless man yesterday in Chicago, we don't know what the purpose was. We don't know what the backstory of some of these situations are. But if there, the long and short term of it, there's a mental challenge in each of us, and we are in some cases in control of how we allow it to get to certain levels, and we are in control to some degree on what we consume in our bodies to consume or to not to consume, to avoid some of these situations.
Right.
Well, not only the food, Deborah, first of all, thank you. That's amazing. Not only consuming food, but what are you consuming on TV? Are you consuming violence on TV?
Yes.
Are you consuming violent people in your life? Are you tolerating that behavior?
Ooh.
And so
you know, if you're going to tolerate poor behavior, you're actually teaching people how to treat you.
Mm.
And then you're going to manifest more of that, the law of attraction.
I agree.
It's not because Dr. Debbie here via a backroom chat. I'd like to lead a prayer to remove these prejudices and any interferences that stop us from seeing each other on a soul level.
Let me take one more. Excuse me, sorry,
but I've got to go because I am in the middle of a meeting. But it's lovely to see all of you. Lovely to hear from all of you.
Yeah.
Take care now.
Well, hold on, Jana. We're going to take another call.
If you're listening, just stay tuned for that if you want to receive that prayer.
Okay. And I'm opening a mic for 773-737. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers. This is Mama D, Wisdom with Mama D, this Saturday from 12 to 2 p.m. Our theme is the violence of abortion is a family affair. Men weigh in. And so all my guests are scheduled to be men. You know, the cause is in America, murder is marketed as entertainment. And when lynchings were advertised in the newspapers and Ida B. Wells was crusading against them, white people would show up with their children because lynchings were county fair, country fun, and they were taking souvenirs like fingers and toes, and just like they put up photographs of animals that they have slaughtered on their walls. So we keep talking about this mental illness, but if the shooter is black, social media says he's wicked. And if whatever his age is, it's added. So a 12-year-old becomes an 18-year-old. And if they're 22 years old, like Dylan Roof, who was called the boy by Maxine Waters, the age is put down. But when a police officer approached Dylan Roof, knowing that he had just slaughtered 9 people in a church, he came up with his gun out, and that officer came up to the window and holstered his gun. Then they took him for hamburgers before they took him to jail. But if he's black, as I said, he's wicked. And so we're talking about mental illness. It's getting a bad rap. It's not mental illness. It's social wickedness. Because when what we should be focusing in on with this latest slaughtering 19 children, but first he killed his grandmother. And then he attacked young children under the age of 10. And the same thing happened when I think it was Sonny Brooks, when this man killed 20-some first graders. First, he killed his mama. There is a connection here, folks. We need to connect the dots here, folks. Why is it that you killed your caregiver and attacked young children? You didn't attack adults, and you didn't attack the high school, but young children. So obviously, the connection between these two shooters are that something happened to them under the age of 10, and it happened at home, and that's why the grandmama was killed first, and that's why the mother was killed first. And I think we need to connect those dots, because at the end of the day, mentally ill means you don't know what you're doing. But when these people put on body armors and have several guns so that they don't have to reload, and they go on social media and broadcast what they are going to do, and they plan of escape, that's not being mentally ill. That's being mentally wicked. And why can't we call that? The mentally ill people don't know what they're doing. These people are calculated murderers, and it's wicked. And we need to get that, and the sins that the parents are visited on the children. Adults are out of order, and therefore children are out of order. So why can't we just say, no, this is wicked here. Turn from your wicked ways. This is not mental illness.
Wow. Well, Mama D, we're going to be definitely tuning in on Saturday to hear that conversation, because I think that's one that needs to be had when we talk about life and taking of life and deciding when life exists and what men think about that. And we thank you for weighing in on this. I want to open up one more mic. You know, my thought is...
we got 10 minutes, so that, we got to make sure we get that prayer in.
Yeah.
I only need 2 minutes to say what I have to say.
Yeah, 773-263. Your mic is open. You got about a minute to make your comment, and then we're going to wrap up because we need to bring some spiritual healing, and I think that's what the illness is. I think it's spiritual illness above and beyond mental illness that we're trying to heal.
Spiritual vexness.
Yes. So 773-263. Go right ahead.
Yes, Glenn Rice, and this is Rashida. You know, I thought it was interesting what the president said about that incident, and he said that there's mental illness everywhere in the world. He said, but he prayed that things change in America because he has never seen anything like what's happening in America. And then I agree partially with Mama G. It is a spiritual weakness because Dr. Martin Luther King said during a time of violence that Chicago was the most violent place that he's ever. And then he also said that a nation who spends more on military and weapons are spiritually dead. So it could be, you know, something with not having enough reverence to God and the other illnesses that are overwhelming because it's too much. As the guy said in Texas, he said, it's not like Chicago. Texas is not like Chicago. We don't have this going on. But every day in Chicago, he said, you find someone killed. And I think our people are very spiritually dead because too much killing in Chicago. And for us to put more emphasis on that one incident, yes, people are sick everywhere, but we are sick when we tolerate that type of stuff, behavior in our community and look out at someone else's community.
Well, we're going to try to see if we can bring some spiritual healing today on the show. And we thank you for calling in. Area code 111-111, you got 30 seconds to give us your thoughts. Go right ahead.
Thank you for the program. I just want to notate, you know, we should realize one thing. This is part of the whole evolution of the world and the changes that are coming. This guy shot up 19 people. If we hadn't have been praying, do you know he would have shot 30 or 40? So this is just an example. Yeah, I mean, this is just an example of what's going to happen in the new age when we remove violence and all of that. These people are out of their minds. Who are going to a school and shoot up some children? So, but to me, it's part of traditional society. Look at your comms on TV with guns by your face and all the shooting and graphic violence that they have on TV and video games and all this stuff. It's so horrible. I don't even partake in it. I don't want to watch television. I'd rather go outside and listen to some birds, give us a sip and have some joy. That type of stuff
there
on
you
television
go.
With all
that
barking
so
and violence. Appreciate you.
We appreciate your thoughts, and I definitely agree with that. For sure.
Definitely join us again. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, Jody.
Lee?
Hold on 1 second. I just want to say this. There's many, many factors on why this thing happened. Of course, again, you know, the love of God, the agape of God, we need to keep that, and we need to stay prayerful in this time and watch, be prayerful and watch. Watch ourselves, watch our beings, but most of all, you know, watch our surroundings. That's all I wanted to say. And I'm going to let Jody Suzanne Kaffi lead us in a beautiful prayer. Please go ahead. can teach you how to do this. So if you know how to do this, go ahead and center yourself, connect with God, and bring in your spirit guide. Here we go. Thank you, infinite, uncorruptible source. We are grateful for all the goodness that you send our way. Please support us and the universe in removing the prejudice, removing people's negative thoughts from their body. Transmute those negative thoughts and any prejudice or ill feelings up to source. Replace it with God's divine white light. Give people the discernment to look at each other's soul, not their skin color. Look at their soul. Love first. To love first. To start with their heart. Give people the discernment to choose health and choose love and to understand what health looks like. And if they don't, to seek the guidance from their neighbors and seek to understand their neighbors and seek to understand the world and remove any hatred and replace with your love. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you.
Amen,
thank you.
Amen.
So very, very much, everybody, for being on. I know this is a very critical, tender subject, and it's so well needed. Again, I wish I had a platform big enough for the world to be on, and we all get together and talk about it and come up with a solution. But continue to love and give love freely. Freely. Continue to love and give love freely. And that is going to hold you until the coming of God. Absolutely. Thank you again. Thank you again. Anybody else? You got like 30 seconds there. Anybody else want to say anything?
Yeah. Just live in love. Be the light.
Live in love.
That's why we're here. We're all here for
love. Love is the word.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Thank you, Facebook.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur,
Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.